Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, what kind of a cartoon is this going to be, anyway?
Well, you see, I play the lead in the picture, and my name is Sammy Squirrel, and the story is all about me and my cute little furry friends in the forest.
Oh, Freddy Fox, not that.
Mitty Beaver,
that.
And Wallace Woodchuck, and Buster Badger, and Horace Hedgehog, and Scott Skunk, and Barney Bear, and Tommy Monkey, and Dorothy Duck.
You wouldn't have liked the story anyway.
Hello and welcome to Tooncast Beyond. This is the third out of 12 episodes for the Animation Direction Spotlight. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and joining me is TV's Mr. Neil.
I do this kind of thing to him all through the picture. That is a Tex Avery classic.
It is. It is. Tex Avery is... His cartoons were amazing.
Yeah.
Because his cartoons, I would think that out of, I could be wrong, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think out of all of the, you know, the general Looney Tunes directors, he is the one that has the most work at other studios. Okay, outside of Disney himself, but I mean, like, out of the core Looney Tunes crew, he is the one that has the most credits outside of Warner, right?
Right. And he really did his biggest evolution outside of Warner. I mean, he was just starting to blossom when he left Warner Brothers, and he really only developed his abstract style while at MGM.
Yeah, I love his MGM stuff. I mean, the house, the car, the farm, the TV of tomorrow, that entire line there. Did he? I know he did that House of Tomorrow. Who did the other one with the two mice? With
I don't know.
I thought it was him. I honestly did. I could be wrong, but I thought it was him. But yeah, I mean, Tex Avery has a huge. Huge lineup of cartoons that are absolutely amazing.
And just, he was one of the first guys, other than Bob Clampett, to really figure out that you can totally break the rules in animation. I mean, up until these guys came on the scene, cartoons were kind of mostly musicals and... You know, they're not really gag-centric. Like, Disney cartoons are funny, but they were never that funny. And Porky Pig cartoons, up until a certain point, were not very funny. And then they were like, wait a minute. We could do anything we want. That's where Bob Clampett and Tex Avery just went totally balls to the walls insane. And Tex just kept getting better. It's just like, by the end of his career, he was just like doing gags like every second. And like I said, Bob was very, he had kind of an abstract style, but the way he designed characters was very volumetric. You know, it actually looked like the characters took up space. Tex Avery had a very abstract style. Like, characters looked really flat, but they were really weird and strangely designed. It really made, especially in the MGM days, it really made for like a signature style. You always knew you were watching a Tex Avery cartoon, especially after he teamed up with
MGM.
Well, Ed Benedict, because when he went over to MGM, he contacted Ed Benedict, and Ed Benedict was the guy who, you know, how the early Hanna-Barbera characters have like the parrot mouth. You know, it's just kind of this really simplistic mouth. He's the guy who came up with that, and that's why a lot of the Tex Avery cartoons kind of resemble early Hanna-Barbera, even more so than the Tom and Jerry cartoons do. I mean, that's really why. So it's these two goofy men just coming up with this style.
And it was such a great style, yeah. Honestly. I mean, the man, you know, he spent, in late 35, he migrated to Leon Schlesinger in Termite Terrace.
Yeah.
From
Walter Lantz, we should say. He worked on some of the, right. The Oswald the Lucky Rabbit cartoons.
Yes, he did. He was nicknamed Tex in Texas because he was raised in Taylor, Texas. but yeah, I mean, you know, he worked at with Walter Lantz Studio, and then he moved to Termite Terrace, and then we have some of the creation of Looney Tunes, and he was the one that introduced Daffy.
Yeah.
With the new form of looniness and zaniness that had not been seen before in animated cartoons. Daffy was almost completely out of control, darn fool duck. Tex Avery, it's a director like him that makes, like, that really makes me miss Toonheads. Because Toonheads, every time I caught Toonheads on Cartoon Network, it was always the spotlight on Avery. And it would show Avery stuff for an hour a night. It's just so, so good.
Well, there was so much fuel for Avery stuff that they actually had their own show for it. It was the Tex Avery Show. And that was a good show.
Oh, yeah, it was. It really, really was. Before we get too far into Tex, I do have to go back and mention something about last week's discussion. We talked about Bob Clampett and the Big Snooze. After we recorded last week's episode, as I mentioned there, and as I've mentioned several times, Cartoon Network Boomerang airs Looney Tunes at 12 noon Eastern Time and 2 a.m. Eastern Time. I just so happens every now and then I'll hit record on my DVR to hit these because sometimes, more specifically I know this is kind of sad to say, but more specifically the Roadrunner Wile E. Coyote cartoons I used to take naps on. I don't know why, it just... I don't know. It just makes me fall asleep. But so I hit record on this and I walked away and I went and did other stuff and came back to it later that night and watched it. And I had said to you that they don't show, I don't remember seeing a lot of Clampett stuff on Cartoon Network. They showed the Big Snooze, but they completely do not credit him in the credits on Cartoon Network. I have no idea why.
I remember reading something about that. I don't know if it was they didn't credit him initially or they just take his credit out of the television version.
I think they take his credit out of the television version because the version that I saw online that you had sent that's in the post for last week that has him being credited.
That's really
so weird. Yeah, it's very, very weird. But anyway, Tex Avery. So, created Daffy.
More or less created Bugs Bunny, but that came with a lot of input from the other...
Absolutely. See, I see Bugs as everybody has their show. It's kind of like the reverse of what we have with the James Bond film franchise, where different actors play James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
The way I look at Bugs Bunny is every director had their shot with him.
Right.
So that's how I kind of look at Bugs, and let's face it, later Bugs Bunny, when he's, you know, his more famous looking, you know, style, that is kind of everybody. Early Bugs, what I think happened with early Bugs is they tried to make him, like before Daffy came along, they tried to make Daffy, or tried to make Bugs that wacky kind of character, and I think it worked in some aspects, and some of those weird looking, like the weird drawn Bugs cartoons are funny and interesting, but once he got his more classic look and he got his more classic personality of, oh gosh, I'm just so unimportant, you know, I mean.
Well, actually, Daffy is older than Bugs. In fact, the first Bugs Bunny cartoon was a remake of a Daffy Duck cartoon. It was, I think it was Porky's Duck Hunt, and then they changed it to Porky's
Rabbit Hunt.
Yeah. And, yeah, Bugs has different personalities depending on which director it was. For Tex, he was just this mischief maker, this merry mischief maker. I think Clampett made him more mean, but still enjoying himself. With you know, some of the later guys, he was much more calmed down, but he wasn't really intimidated by anything. So that was kind of the cool and collected and also very egotistical Bugs. It's like, oh, I'm so unimportant, as he's basking in the glow of adoration.
I mean, you know, it's surprising to me that Avery only ended up directing only 4 Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yeah, I think one of them is even a banned cartoon, because I saw one screenshot of it. I'm like, ooh, yeah.
They were A Wild Hare, mm-hmm. Tortoise Beats Hare, All This and Rabbit Stew.
That's the one.
And The Heckling Hare.
Yeah. And The Heckling Hare is the one where he walked out of Warner Brothers, because that's the one where there's the gag at the end where they fall off the cliff, him and the dog. And the dog is clearly a precursor to Meathead from Squirry Squirrel.
Yeah.
And they fall off the cliff, and it was supposed to be that they fall off 3 times. It's like they mm-hmm. keep doing the same gag over, and at the end he says something like, "Well, folks, here we go again," you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But it just kind of, it has a really sloppy cut at the end, and I always thought it was a TV edit. And it turns out that was a Schlesinger cut, and it was never a good ending. So it was always like that.
Is that the one where he's on the train tracks and they just cut it?
No, that's the one where they fall off the cliff and then they stop midair and they go,
okay.
"Fooled you, didn't we?" And then it just cuts.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. I remember that now. Yeah, that was crazy. You know, you mentioned Screwy and Meathead, and as soon as you said Meathead's name, all I can think of is Screwy is Archie, and Meathead is Meathead. Rob Reiner, oh my God,
dead from the neck up.
I love Screwy Squirrel cartoons. I really like those. For me, are the gems from Tex.
Yeah, those are basically Bugs Bunny cartoons cranked up to 11. And there's another Rob Reiner reference for you.
Yeah, I mean, it just
this goes to 11.
Yeah, Screwy is, outside of the core Looney Tunes characters, I would say Screwy is my favorite overall classic cartoon character. Like, in this vein of this time, this golden age MGM Looney Tunes, he's just so awesome.
And very, very violent. In fact, I don't know if you had this, but when I was a kid, the old MGM syndication package did not have Screwy Squirrel cartoons.
No, they didn't.
I just finally saw it on Cartoon Network one day. I'm like, what the hell is this? I'd never heard of them outside of Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I'm like, who the hell is Screwy Squirrel?
Oh, friggin' what's his name? Angelo. What's the matter? You got hung up working for Screwy Squirrel or Dinky Doodle or yeah. Oh God, friggin' Angelo.
That's the first time I'd ever heard Screwy Squirrel's name.
No, I knew of Screwy. I didn't know about the. Yeah, you're right. The MGM pack didn't have him in there, but later, I would say early to mid 90s, I know by the time I was 10 or 11, 91, 92, I had seen the Screwy cartoons where he messes with Meathead.
Yeah.
Because I always remember laughing as a kid about the scene where, what is that next scene? What do I do to this guy next? And he basically pulls the page.
See, that cartoon was basically a redo of the Heckling Hare, because there's a scene like that in the Bugs Bunny cartoon, but it's much more subdued. He's just kind of pacing, like, what do I do this to this guy next? Screwy Squirrel actually takes the script and reads it.
Yeah.
And there's parts where he's like doing the Foley, like the dog is tumbling down the hill, he's doing the drum roll on the snare, and then he whips out the slide whistle.
As soon as he whips out the slide whistle, I lose my shit.
I'm like this cartoon, genius.
I mean, because it goes back to, imagine what they used to make those sound effects back then.
Those are basically the things they used.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, oh my God. And that slide whistle sound effect and the drums and all, that scene of Meathead tumbling down the hill is so classic with the sound effects, because that would be later worked into everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at when Cartoon Network first launched Boomerang, and they have that thing for Hanna-Barbera.
Right.
Where it shows Fred and Barney and everybody else, the sound effects are similar to what's in the Screwy Squirrel one.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone basically ripped off Tex Avery, because, you know, the scenes where they're running so fast that they run off the film reel, that gag I've seen duplicated a bunch of times. In Roger Rabbit, even. I mean, that whole movie was an homage to Tex Avery. I mean, it's really so obvious. And it was, God, I love that movie.
Yeah. That is such a good movie. But yeah, I mean, Tex himself, he was a really, like you said earlier, he really went for the funny.
Yeah. And he got good at timing. I mean, the guy's comedic timing was unmatched. Not even Clampett. I mean, Tex Avery knew how to do a joke. He knew the timing of a joke. He knew how long you should wait between jokes to make the audience laugh again. I mean, the guy was just, he was a jokeologist.
Yes, he was. He really, really was. Did they remake Jerky Turkey?
Jerky Turkey. I don't know.
Because I remember that with Daffy.
There was a turkey cartoon with Daffy.
Where he's like, no, hide here, no, hide here. And then they switch the roles. I don't remember who. I mean, I'm sure in our travels here in the Animation Direction Spotlight, we'll be looking into that eventually. But, so he goes to MGM.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, Wallace Lessinger Avery created a concept of animating lip movements to live-action footage of animals. Schlesinger was not interested in Avery's idea, so Avery approached Jerry Fairbanks, a friend of his who produced the Unusual Occupations series of short subjects for Paramount Pictures. Fairbanks liked the idea, and the Speaking of Animals series shorts was launched. And then after that, he went to MGM, and MGM is going to be his most famous era.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So he basically did every cartoon that wasn't Tom and Jerry.
Yeah.
Except for, I think, Barney Bear. I think Barney Bear was someone else.
Yeah. The most notable ones from Avery at MGM were Bad Luck Blackie, Cellbound, Magical Maestro, Lucky Ducky, Ventriloquist Cat, and King Size Canary.
Oh, God, I love all of those.
I mean, the like you said, he's a jokeologist. The man knew how to make us laugh. And I'm sure if we go back and we find all these, like, I really wish, I'm going to have to look it up and see. I really wish there was an entire, I thought there was, like, an entire Tex Avery DVD set. So I'm not sure if there actually is. I'm going to actually look it up here and see. The Tex Avery Show does not have DVDs. From 97, we have volumes 1 through 3 of The Wacky World of Tex Avery. Tex Rides Again, Power Pooch to the Rescue, and Pompeii Pete in the 22nd Century. These were all released about, I don't know, 14 years ago. No. More like 10 or 11 years ago. So there's a fourth episode collection that released last year from Mill Creek called Volume 1. It has 40 episodes on it. Let's see. Each episode stars a variety of wild original characters, including the bumbling Roman centurion, Pompeii Pete, the inept conqueror, and the little princess he cannot conquer, Genghis and Connie, the lamest superhero on four legs, Power Pooch. I don't think this is his MGM stuff.
No.
This has to be some of the other stuff that he did. But I really wish that they would, like, they would put out an MGM collection for Tex. That would be so amazing if they did.
It really needs to be set apart from the Tom and Jerry stuff for sure.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
It's almost like a different studio practice.
Yeah.
I mean, Tom and Jerry, and even though like the old MGM syndication package put them together, it was like the Tom and Jerry stuff and the Tex Avery stuff were so totally different from each other. It was just weird.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And should we bring up some of his like more notable characters, like aside from Droopy and like the ones that are, you know, everyone knows Droopy, but like, you know, there's Red Hot Riding Hood and the Wolf, and God, I love those characters. Red Hot Riding Hood is when I discovered it was basically my confirmation of heterosexuality. I'm like. Like, oh yeah. And that wolf, I'm pretty sure that wolf is the same wolf that eventually evolved into that kind of prototype of Huckleberry Hound, where he's kind of got the drawl. He's like, "Hi, Billy boy, you know, that character. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be the same wolf, but yeah, that character evolved over time. Of course, we mentioned Screwy Squirrel and Meathead, but there was also what's that character's name? That he did a of Mice and Men parody that was George and Junior. That's what it was.
Oh yeah, George and Junior. I love George and Junior. So hilarious.
Some of the best cartoons. And then there was he did this kind of really ratty looking cat character who was in the Ventriloquist Cat and the Cuckoo Clock and the cat that hated people. I love that character. And there was some other cartoon, I don't remember the name, where he wants to get out of the canary, but so he rips off the top of the head of this other dog and he puts it on top of his head. And then there's just a bunch of gags during the whole cartoon about that. And that cat, I don't know the name of that cat's name, but that sounded weird. I don't know that cat's name, but God, I love that character.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Riding Hood and Wolf stuff was always amazing from Tex. That was always so hilarious.
Yes.
You know, and that's, you know, that's where Jim Carrey got the, you know, that's where the mask got the get the impression from is from Tex. So, I mean,
yeah.
Tex Avery's legacy. I mean, everyone.
Another connection to Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I mean, Jessica Rabbit was clearly a take on Red Hot Riding Hood.
On Red, yeah. She was a little bit more voluptuous than Red, yeah. but there's nothing wrong with that.
I think Red Hot Riding Hood shook it a little more.
Yeah, she did. She did.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I love all those old Wolf cartoons. I particularly like the Droopy cartoons that he did when it was Droopy and his son. I love those. Because it's basically like two people getting the one up on the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sheriff Droopy?
Yeah.
There's a couple of them, yeah. Absolutely love those. I hate to say this, I don't think Tex did it, but where I really remember... Oh, wow. Did Droopy have a son in the olden days?
I don't think so. I was kind of thinking about that, and I think what you're thinking of is the
Tom and Jerry kids. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I'm sorry, folks.
But on that note, did you know that there was a latter day Screwy Squirrel cartoon?
Was there really?
Yep, it made in the 90s. I never knew about this, but I saw it today, and it's awful.
Is it really?
It should not exist. It's of that mid-90s Hanna-Barbera style.
Oh, no.
The style that should not be... That should not be taking Tex Avery cartoons and trying to animate them.
Oh, no.
It's painful.
Oh, well, I'm glad you didn't send that to me.
No, but I did send you Quickie Koala.
yeah, you did. Yeah. Thankfully, it's only a clip.
Yeah. And
I mean,
apparently he did writing for that show, but he didn't really do that much.
Yeah.
He did more for Walter Lantz.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Came back and did two of the greatest cartoons I think that ever showed up at Walter Lantz Studios. He did four, but there's only two that I thought were noteworthy, and that was Crazy Mixed Up Pup, which is the one where the guy and his dog get run over, and this like cross-eyed guy gets out of the ambulance. He's like, plasma. Dog plasma, and he gets them mixed up, and for the rest of the cartoon, the dog acts like a human, and the human acts like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
It's hilarious. And the other one is The Legend of Rockabye Point, which is the one that kind of defined what Chilly Willy would be. And
interesting.
You watch it, and it's you can tell right away it's Tex Avery. Just gag after gag.
Yeah.
Rapid fire.
You said rapid fire. That's not what I thought you said. That's a completely other director that we'll talk about last in this series. I thought you said rabbit fire. I'm like, no. And I know when we get to that, we're both going to be saying, you know, I don't know who's going to play which side, but oh God, it's all about the seasons, ladies and gentlemen. Let's see here. I wish that Screwy Squirrel was that clip was longer, because that entire episode is like I said, amazing.
Yeah, I'm sure it could be found online, but like, you know, the video sites where that stuff shows up on, they're kind of dubious, I'll say. So I was like, I can't send these links.
Wow, I'm trying to search iTunes for Screwy Squirrel and nothing comes up. they need to release Tex Avery collections from Termite Terrace, from MGM, all the stuff that he's done. I think it's a crime that they haven't already, honestly, released that stuff. Sadly... 2 days before Spada was born, Tex Avery passed away August 26, 1980.
Wow.
He died of liver cancer. He was 72. So he didn't get to see, like,
he didn't get to see any, well, the first 8 months of the 80s. I'm sure at this point he was, you know, on his way out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's kind of a shame. Like, I would love to know what half of these people that started the golden age of animation, I would love to know what they think of animation these days.
Yeah. Yeah, it's too bad because he never really got to see what would come because, you know, throughout the 80s, people just kind of forgot who these guys were. And it wasn't until, like, Cartoon Network came along that suddenly, you know, we were reawakened to Tex Avery and Bob Clampett and Chuck Jones, especially as far as what the MGM syndication package used to be, because they used to clip the opening and closings right off the cartoon, so you didn't even see who made them. And that drove me nuts. I'm like, why would you do that?
Yeah, that's a real shame.
I mean, I suppose commercials, but still, god damn it.
I mean, even... yeah, I mean, at least half the Looney Tunes cartoons that I watch on Boomerang now all have, you know, they have the Warner Brothers logo. They have, you know, if it's a Bugs cartoon, they have, you know, Bugs, whether he's laying on his name or whatever, and they have him pull down the title card, and then they go. I mean, they always have the. The only time, as I mentioned earlier in this episode, the only time I've ever seen someone not be credited is Bob with Big Snooze, but Tex Avery, like we've said, master. Just an absolute master.
Yeah.
It must have been a blast to work for this guy.
Oh, yeah. And we didn't even. I'm sure there are, like, tons of cartoons we haven't even mentioned, but his body of work is just so large, and I'm like...
It is, yeah.
Like, I don't even have time to watch all these.
I know, it's like, I picked out the ones that are my favorites. I looked at the one that you told me that you suggested to look at, and... But yeah, I mean, his body of work, he has, according to IMDb... as a animation director, he has 146 credits. We'd be here for 2.5-3 hours talking about all of these. I would love to be able to look at the Tex Avery King of Cartoons TV movie documentary that came out in 1988. That would be kind of cool to see. You know, Droopy Double Trouble, Magic Maestro, One Cab's Family, Rockabye Bear, Three Little Pups, Crazy Mixed Up Pup, Drag Along Droopy. I mean, the guy was a legend. He really, really is. Is absolutely, you know, Cat's Meow. Let's see, what was that one I just saw? I mean, so much. I mean, you know, you look at it, and I mean, his very first one, even though he's uncredited. The very first one is The Gingerbread Boy, which was a cartoon short. The very first one he's credited, I'm trying to think, are they all like that? From 1935, yeah, 1935 through... 1935 to 1941, he is either uncredited or credited as Fred Avery.
Yeah, and that was a Schlesinger thing. Schlesinger,
yeah.
Like we said last time, he liked proper names.
Yep. Aviation Vacation from 1941. Oh my god.
Uh, did some weird ones. Like that just made me think of the one where it's like the jet plane who has a son. Mm-hmm. And then there was also one that was like a taxi cab who had a son.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were probably his weakest cartoons, and even those were funny. So the guy, once he hit his stride, he did not make a bad cartoon ever.
Absolutely.
I think we're going to take a quick break, come back with final thoughts, and close out the show after this.
Good evening, kiddies. Once upon a time, Little Red Riding Hood was skipping through the woods. She was going to her grandmother's house to take Grandma a basket of nice goodies. But waiting in the woods was a mean old wolf ready to pounce upon poor Little Red Riding Hood.
Oh, stop it! Waiting in the woods with a mean old wolf ready to pound on poor Red Riding Hood.
I'm fed up with that sissy stuff. It's the same old story over and over. If you can't do this thing a new way, bud, I quit.
Me too. Every cartoon studio in Hollywood has done it this way.
Yes, I'm plenty sick of it myself.
Boy, I'll say, it's a new studio in Hollywood.
Well, we have
all but sissy stuff.
You would just check me the marriage smells.
Okay. All right. We'll do the story a new way. Once upon a time, there was a wolf. Then there was Grandma's house. And Grandma.
Hiya, cousin! What's buzzing?
Now, Little Red Riding Hood worked in a Hollywood nightclub. And a wolf was hot on her trail.
Cigarettes. King size.
We now give you our brand new little sweetheart of swing, that little red-headed ball of fire, Red Hot Riding Hood.
Hey, Daddy, I want a diamond ring. I want some bracelets and everything. Daddy, you better get the best for me. Won't I look swell in sables, clothes with Paris labels, Daddy? You better get the best for me. Hey, Peter, I want the Empire State Crystal's golden gate.
Daddy,
you better get the best for me. Hey, Pa, I want the B-19 now. Daddy, don't be mean. Hey, Whoopee, you better get the best for me. Revelation with a bit of stimulation, I'd be a great sensation. I'd even be your little consolation. I see there, Father, I kind of think that I'm so cute and mink. Daddy, you've got to get the very best for me. Oh, Daddy.
Hey, baby. What do you say after the show? You and me go, stepping.
You wolves are all alike. That you are. No, I'm terribly sorry. But you see, I'm going over to my grandmother's. She's burning a little light in the window for me. That she is.
Ah, forget the old dragon. And fly away with me to the Riviera. That will be such a beautiful thing. I will give you diamonds, pearls, ermine. I will even give you a new scent. of white sidewall tires.
What's your answer to that, babe?
Well, my answer is...
No!
To Grandma's house. Hurry!
Yeah, hey, follow that cab.
Yes, sir.
Even look at another babe.
I love to sing about the moon and the June and the springer. I love to sing about a sky of blue or a tea for two, anything with a swing or two, and I love you. I love what you sing.
Oh, Papa, come, children. It's him at the radio station.
Mommy, no major boat's gonna get me. Got through Yale with boola boola la-dee-do. Oh, microphone's got me. I love to sing. I love to wake up with the south in my mouth and wave the flag with a cheer for Uncle Sammy and another former mammy. I love to sing. I love to sing about the moon and the June and the spring. I love to sing about a sky.
Drink to me only with thine eyes, and I will pledge with mine.
Stop! Enough is too much. Go on and sing her about your moon and your June, about a swinger. Go on and sing her.
About a sky of blue or a tea for two, anything with a swing of two, and I love you. I love what you sing. I love to sing her. I like to sing her. Never stop her to my papa. I'd wave a flag her. With a cheer for Jackie Bunny and another for my mommy.
We love to sing.
Hello? You don't say. You don't say. You don't say.
Who was it?
He didn't say.
You ain't gonna hit me again, are you?
Now he ought to know better than that. What's the next thing I do to that guy? What is that next scene? Oh, yeah.
All right.
right, folks, we are back. And surprisingly, there's no controversy with him. I mean, there's a little bit of, like, but compared to last week, you know, yeah. I mean, Avery was, sure, he had his opinions and they didn't really mesh with Leon, so he left after a while. And, you know, I mean, arguably, you know, his Warner Brothers stuff is all very well done. But when he went to MGM, that's where he found his full success.
He became the master of the wild take.
Absolutely. I'm trying so hard in these episodes not to make Tiny Toons at references, because the first thing I think of is when you say that, we've got wild takes, exploding cakes.
Oh, yes.
From a loony beginning. Oh, I love that episode. Anyway, you know, from wags to riches, my favorite Tex Avery cartoons that are non-character. I mean, there's characters in these, but my favorite ones that really don't have a specific character is the Tomorrow series.
Yeah, the House of Tomorrow.
House, Car, TV, Farm.
And
those. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the one thing we learned from those cartoons is that I don't think Tex Avery liked his mother-in-law. So know. Many mother-in-law jokes.
I know. You know, and what makes those cartoons so great is the narrator. I know that's not Mel. I know that's not. Because Mel wasn't working for MGM at the time.
No, I'm pretty sure he had an exclusive contract with...
with Warner's.
Because that's why he stopped doing Woody Woodpecker. Because there was that exclusivity deal. And, well, we'll get to that later, I think.
Oh, much later. Yeah, that's the other thing. Do we... I mean, I know this is the animation direction spotlight, but do we want to do a spotlight on Mel himself?
I mean, we could do that.
It probably would be last after Chuck.
Yeah,
most likely.
Kind of a bonus round. You know what? We should probably stick him together with, like... with Dawes Butler and maybe even Paul Frees, because the three of those guys were just like equally the masters of a thousand voices.
Oh, absolutely. And well, let's not forget Scooby himself.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about Frank Welker, people.
No.
As much as I like Frank Welker as Scooby now, because, you know, obviously Mr. Messick is no longer with us. But yeah.
But in these old theatrical cartoons, if it's not Mel Blanc, it's usually Dawes Butler.
Mm-hmm.
Literally one or the other.
Yeah. I think I saw the name of the narrator on The House of Tomorrow. I'm honestly not sure if I remember seeing it. And I don't think it was Dawes, actually.
No, I don't think so.
I really don't.
Yeah, Dawes has a pretty soft voice, so it probably was not him.
Yeah, I mean, this guy, I would know once. I mean, I wouldn't know his name, but I mean, I know the voice that I'm talking about here. And actually, what year was House of Tomorrow?
It was 49. Oh my God, voices were Frank Graham. He was probably the narrator. Tex Avery did voices, and Don Messick, who was rarely in the old theatrical cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, Frank Graham was the main voice, and Don Messick was the pressure cooker one, but yeah, Frank Graham was the voice that I most remember. You want to talk about Yeah, I mean that narrator voice was absolutely amazing. So I think, unless you hear anything else, I think that's going to do it for us this week.
That's pretty much everything.
Yep,
I mean, we couldn't possibly do a complete episode on Tex Avery. There's just too much.
Way too much.
Just go to his Wikipedia or IMDb, and just go down the list and try to find every one of those cartoons, because they're all amazing.
Absolutely. And the list will be in the post. Next time around, what do we have? We have Mr. Yosemite Sam himself.
Yes.
Mr. Friz Freeling.
Yep.
Oh, boy. He has a Reza Frezza.
Who's that bullshit again?
Oh, God. I'm having such fun with these episodes because I love talking about these guys and these old cartoons. It's just so awesome. All right, folks, we will catch you next week with Friz Freeling.
Lose something, meathead?
Yeah, a crazy squirrel.
Would you know him if you saw a picture of him?
Yeah.
Did he look like this?
Yeah. That's him, all right.
He went that way, jumped over that there fence. Read all about it. Stop dog falls for cardio gang. Extra. Wait for mister.
I've had enough. Stop the picture. End the thing, will ya?
Now, wait a minute, pal. Wait a minute.
Well, how's that?
Oh, great. Oh. Great choice.
Pardon me. I don't mean to put a damper on this thing, but weren't there supposed to be 5 rockets?
There were 5, and I lit them, too.
Holy smokes.
Whoa! 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 Whoa!
Hit the deck!
Sam, speak to me.
Ooh, you carrot-chomping, flop-eared, bob-tailed rabbit. I hope your inners turn to outers and your ears go vice-versa. I hate rabbits. It's just human nature to hate rabbits. Why, you low-down, flop-eared son of a kangaroo. You'll pay for this, you dog-blasting, ornery, no-account, long-eared varmint. Why, you corn-sawing, idiot rabbit.
Yeah. Maybe we can fix it in the editing.
Go to lunch now.